This is In the Loop. I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons. What if we had some days with no mail delivery, no letters, no prescriptions, no packages on your doorstep? Well, that's the scenario that the U.S. Postal Service warns could become reality within the next year if it runs out of money. Last week, the Postmaster General, David Steiner, explained the agency's funding challenges in front of a congressional subcommittee.
At our current rate, we'll be out of cash in less than 12 months. So in about a year from now, the Postal Service would be unable to deliver the mail if we continue the status quo.
The agency, which funds itself through stamps and service fees and not tax dollars, says its current path isn't sustainable. Next, we're going to break down what's behind the financial strain and what could come next. And we'll hear from Chicagoans whose daily lives depend on the Postal Service. At the table, Reverend Allison Farnham, who's director of Unitarian Universalist Prison Ministry of Illinois, and Hansi Lo Wang, who's an NPR correspondent, joins us remotely. Welcome to In the Loop.
Thank you, Sasha.
Thank you, Sasha.
So, Hansi, let me start with you, because the Postal Service is quite unique as a government agency. Explain that funding structure I just alluded to there.
Right. This is a federal government agency that is not run by tax dollars, which a lot of people are surprised to find out. It relies on the stamps and the service fees that its customers pay for, that the public pays for to mail letters, to mail packages. And it's under a federal mandate to deliver mail and packages 6 days a week to basically every address in the country. And so it's been quite a feat for this Postal Service to continue to do this for decades. And at a time when there were a lot of people and businesses using first-class mail, that was a funding model that worked, that there you didn't hear so much about these issues. Mm-hmm. But over the past 2 decades or so, that's not the case anymore.
Yeah, so this has been a long time coming. Tell us more about how we got here.
Well, it's really a major change happened around 2007. That is when the Postal Service started operating with a financial shortfall. And it's been doing that for almost every fiscal year since. And that is also right around the time when there were drops in the number of people and the volume of mail. Just fewer and fewer people and businesses relying on first-class mail. Think about the rise of paperless billing. Think about the rise of digital communication. Mm-hmm. There are still millions of people who rely on the Postal Service to receive medication, their bills, to make payments, file their taxes, to vote. But there are a lot of people and businesses who don't rely on it as they used to decades past. Mm-hmm. And that has really disrupted this funding model.
But even still, thinking of, you know, just how many folks do still rely on it, it is jarring to hear when the Postmaster General talks about how delivery could stop within a year. What is the actual timeline? Do we know?
It's a little unclear. The Postal Service, the Postmaster General told a House Oversight Subcommittee last week that gave a couple of dates. One is it could run out of cash as soon as this October. Right now, that's not a realistic scenario because that is assuming the Postal Service makes its required payments to its pension funds, to retiree health benefit obligations. What may be more realistic is what another date that the Postmaster General gave, which is February 2027, when the Postal Service may run out of money because that's assuming it's making partial benefit payments, which it's already been doing for a number of years now.
And we should note the Postal Service declined our request to interview the Chicago Postmaster. We also reached out to the president of the Letter Carriers Union, NALC Branch 11. However, we didn't hear back in time for this live broadcast. So, Reverend, I want to turn to you now because I want you to explain your work sending letters to people who are incarcerated.
Sure. We have the privilege of having an inside membership of 185 folks who are locked up in state and federal prisons in Illinois. And we have the opportunity to invite folks who are in the free world, or outside as we call it, mm-hmm. to join in a letter writing ministry to our inside members and match them up.
Yeah, and talk about the impact that it has on both ends, right? From the sender and for the receiver.
Oh my goodness, it's just transformational. It's a privilege for the free world folks to get to know someone who is inside and be matched. And the impact of receiving a letter from someone when you're in prison is beyond what most people could understand who have never been incarcerated. It's that touch of care and connection and a window to the outside world.
That reminder that someone was thinking of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you're not forgotten.
It's like a game changer for mindset to know that someone's thinking of you and caring.
And the complicating factor here too, Reverend Allison, is people who are incarcerated here in Illinois, they're no longer allowed to get that physical mail. The Illinois Department of Corrections is scanning the letters and they get put on their tablets.
Correct.
Tell us why that happened. Why that change?
Well, the change was first as an emergency ruling through IDOC, the Illinois Department of Corrections, and it was regarding some concerns about contraband coming into physical mail. What we've seen in studies from other states that have engaged in this physical ban of mail is that it actually has not reduced the amount of contraband that comes into prisons with paper.
I wonder, too, why not just transition to email, you think?
Well, we do have, there is a texting app for folks. Mm-hmm. And so when a prisoner has a tablet, they can, for fees, access communications. And then for a fee, folks on the outside can use a texting app. So I don't know about you, but for some folks, to know how to log in, create a login, and then get on that app, you can't use it on the browser. You got to use the app on your phone. Now imagine teaching your auntie of a certain age or your grandma about how to do that.
Right.
You can see how the access to loved ones is immediately decreased. For our folks inside, if they want to access something on their tablet, if one was in solitary confinement for whatever reason, they often do not have any access of that kind, making it even more isolating.
Right. I'm also thinking of the personal nature of some of these letters, too, and just the difference in getting a letter scanned, maybe from your child if you're on the inside. You know, maybe they drew a picture.
How can
you kind of get that?
Wouldn't you want to touch it and hug it and keep it, put it on your wall, have it around and access? And also the data in the tablets gets deleted after a certain amount of time.
Yeah. Now, we talked with Bill and Bob Ehrenbeck. These are brothers who have been sending the same birthday card back and forth to each other by mail over the last 30 years, more than 30 years. It started out as a joke, and it's just blossomed into this multi-decade tradition.
The punchline inside is, hey, nothing says I care quite like a card. So it was perfect. It was the perfect card to send, and it was much surprised and, I really shouldn't be surprised that I got the same card back.
It's highly anticipated every year. And so usually I'll take it out of my drawer where I keep it like in early March and I'll put it on the mantle so I remember to send it on.
And these days when everything is sent via text or whatever, it's just nice to see a physical card these days, you know?
Yeah, I love hearing that. Family traditions, but people are still using the mail. Hansi, Pew poll from 2024 found that Americans have a 72% approval rating of the Postal Service. What have you heard from folks about what they appreciate about the Postal Service?
You know, this is a beloved institution. You know, a lot of people have a lot of negative feelings about the government, but this is one of the few unique federal government agencies that has a lot of support from the public. It certainly has faced a lot of criticism, especially in recent years as part of its restructuring efforts trying to address the financial situation as well as to introduce new efficiencies, according to U.S. Postal Service officials, that has created more delays and changes in delivery standards. And so some people are experiencing a lower quality of service than they did previously. But still, a lot of people find the Postal Service to be, this is their daily interaction with the government. And they rely on their letter carriers, especially in a lot of rural areas. People have a really close relationship with their letter carrier. That's their connection with their outside world. And that's the person that may be checking in on them if they're living alone or maybe they're fallen ill and they're stuck at home. But their letter carrier is there 6 days a week.
Yeah. The Aaron Beck brothers went on to say how they're feeling about the future of the USPS.
Worry about the future of it. Worried about the employees, worried about mail-in voting, worried about just the general deconstruction of the government that we're paying a lot of money for. So,
and it would be a real shame if we were to lose that on top of his stated reasons. It's just something that connects everyone together. It doesn't go through a corporation. Mm-hmm. And no matter where you live, you know, FedEx and other things, they don't deliver everywhere. They deliver to the profitable places.
Yeah, pick up on that point, Reverend Allison. Just, the reach of the post office sort of delivering to every address, right? Including the prison.
Right.
What would we lose if that was compromised?
Well, we would lose opportunities for connection. Folks who are locked up in Illinois prisons and all over the U.S. would lose that opportunity to have an understanding of what's going on the outside, connection with loved ones. We know that when folks are connected with loved ones and people who care on the outside, that they are way more likely to do well when they get out.
Yeah. Hey, if you just got here, welcome. This is In the Loop. I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons, and the USPS Postmaster General is sounding the alarm that the agency will run out of funds within a year if changes are not made. So we're talking about what's at stake with Reverend Allison Farnham, who's a director of Unitarian Universalist Prison Ministry of Illinois, and Hansi Lo Wong, who's an NPR correspondent. Hansi, the Postmaster General turned to Congress for help and proposed things like an increase in the price of stamps. By how much was he suggesting?
It's unclear at this point, and specifically the proposal is to change regulations and law potentially to allow the Postal Service to increase it beyond the current limits, their current limits of how often the Postal Service can increase the price of stamps. It's increased the price of a first-class forever stamp multiple times over these past several years. It currently costs costs exactly 78 cents. And there are concerns from some advocates of the Postal Service customers and businesses that rely on the Postal Service and say they are not convinced that increasing the price of a stamp and other shipping rates, for example, would necessarily stabilize the agency, that there are some really core issues that would not necessarily address.
How did lawmakers respond to him?
You know, there's a range of different perspectives. I think there, at least at this committee, this House Oversight Subcommittee, there seemed to be some bipartisan support to stabilize the Postal Service. There certainly was part from some Republican lawmakers exercising some skepticism of whether or not the Postal Service has done enough on itself to make sure that its financial books are in better order. But there was another proposal that seems to gather some support, at least from the top Democrat on the House Subcommittee, House Oversight Subcommittee, that is increasing the debt limit. Currently, federal law prohibits the Postal Service from borrowing more than $15 billion. And that's a debt limit that's been capped since 1992. And so USPS officials have been saying for a long time that they need to be able to borrow more money in order to make up for these funding shortfalls that they've been experiencing year after year.
And on the subject of the stamps, Reverend Allison, I mean, people on the outside can't send stamps or pre-stamped envelopes to people who are incarcerated. So what's the effect that we could see here with an increase in the price of stamps?
Right. The effect for our inside members and folks who are in prison is that it's going to cost them more. So it's very difficult to make money at if folks have a job inside the prison, you're not getting a lot of income. And so that's going to be very prohibitive. If you wanted to send a birthday card to your loved one, the cost of those stamps will be a challenge for all of our folks who want to stay connected.
Are there efforts to allow physical mail in prisons and jails again?
We continue to work in coalition with other community organizations like Restore Justice Illinois, who are really taking into account this impact of the emergency ruling and now the ruling around banning physical mail. And we will continue to join with many other good organizations in trying to lift up that this is not a solution to their problem.
Yeah, and Hansi, speaking of solutions, I mean, we talked just a moment ago about the Postmaster General's testimony, the limit, the debt limit there. The USPS is also having issues with pension payments, right? So talk about some other fixes on the table here.
Right. It's a very complicated system that the Postal Service is under to continue funding its pension fund for its retired workers. And it hasn't been making the full obligation. It's required to make payments every year into that fund. It has been making that because of these financial issues. And the concern is that how long can the Postal Service continue not fully funding that pension fund and collecting essentially these liabilities. Mm-hmm. It puts pressure on the financial books. It raises questions about what happens to retired postal workers in the future. This doesn't affect current retired postal workers, but future retirees, their financial security based upon this pension, that's up. That's in question.
And are, really folks, are folks floating the idea of privatizing the agency?
And that has certainly had been in the air, and there's been talk early on in this current second Trump administration. But the Postmaster General, David Steiner, said when he came on board in July, he said explicitly he does not support privatizing the Postal Service. And that is a fear that a lot of supporters of the Postal Service have, that some part or all of its services gets sold to private companies, and this no longer becomes a government agency, is no longer a government agency, that delivery 6 days a week is not covered for practically every address in the country. But there is the conundrum then of how do we sustain this 6 days a week delivery to almost every address in the country. Currently, this self-funding model, the Postal Service says, is not working.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on your reporting, that's for sure. Hansi Lo Wong, NPR, and Reverend Allison Farnham, who's with the Unitarian Universalist Prison Ministry of Illinois. Thank you so much.
Thank you.